What is up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode. I appreciate you guys tuning in wherever you may be, whether that be at home, at your job, on a train, on a plane, on a bus, wherever you may be. I appreciate you taking time out your day to listen to what your girl got to say. I know it's been a while too. It's been a couple months actually, but we're getting back into it. So this episode, I wanted to talk about lust, and not just talk about lust, but the solution to your lust problem. I've been thinking about this for a while. I got this revelation a few months ago, but sometimes when I do get revelations on things, I sit and ponder on them, you know, because sometimes Yah wants to reveal more to you. And then, you know, I make an episode about it or write it down in my journal. So I wanted to talk about that in this episode. But I wrote in my notes, and I wrote, the solution to your lust problem is to get married. The solution to your lust problem is to get married. And I want to talk about this for this reason. One thing that a lot of people struggle with, whether man or woman, because women, despite popular belief, you know, women struggle with lust as well, just as much as men. But I feel like this topic is kind of geared towards men oftentimes, but women struggle with lust too. But anywho, when we talk about lust, the conversation seems to be more so like, okay, the solution is to stop watching, you know, adult films, if you know what I mean. Stop watching adult films. Stop listening to certain music. Stop hanging around lustful people. Stop hanging around women who provoke that in you and men who provoke that, you know, lust desire in you. Stop hanging around people like that, you know. But you never hear people say, oh, get married. You have a lust problem? Get married. You always hear them say, oh, if you have a lust problem, you need to deal with that first. Then if you want to get married, then get married. You notice how they're telling you to deal with your sin first, then get married. And see, here's the thing. When you think about it, it sounds good in theory. Like, I'm not gonna lie. If somebody told me, oh, you need to deal with that first before you get married, in my mind, I'm like, oh yeah, like, clearly, I need to deal with this problem first, because this can cause issues in your marriage. If you have lust, if you're looking at, porn and stuff on your phone or on the computer or whatever, and your significant other is in the other room, I mean, that's going to cause problems. It can cause problems on the job, just your interactions and your relationships with people in general. It can cause a lot of issues. So I understand why people would want to tackle that issue before they get married. But see, here's the thing. If we don't know what the word of Yah says, we could be taking on advice that isn't biblical advice. It's worldly advice wrapped up in, it's just worldly advice. It's not wrapped up in biblical advice. It's just worldly advice. But it sounds biblical. That's what I wanted to say. So we could be taking on advice that sounds biblical, but is not biblical. And this is because we don't know what the word of Yah says pertaining to lust. So that's what we're going to get into this episode. Again, I was writing in my notes saying how the solution to the lust problem is marriage. And, you know, one thing I know is that Satan is using fear to prevent a lot of people from implementing the solution Yah already gave them. So if you're somebody listening to this and, you know, you can acknowledge that you have a lust problem, you would be surprised, or you may be surprised, how Satan is using fear to prevent you from implementing the solution Yah already gave you in his word. So that's okay. We're going to walk through it. And I wrote down some steps that I feel like helped me, and I feel like it will help you, whoever is listening to this. So One of the scriptures I wanted to bring up was 1 Corinthians 7, 9. And it reads, "But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion." So this is scripture saying straight up that if you cannot exercise self-control, then get married. Let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with lust. If you cannot control your bodily parts, then pursue marriage. Get married. It is better for you to marry than to burn with passion. People be fighting lust, and my question to them is, get married. It seems so simple, and I think that's the problem with a lot of us. We make things complicated, but y'all already gave us a solution. The point I'm trying to make right now is that y'all gave us the solution to a problem. The issue isn't what the solution is. The issue isn't the solution. The issue is we are not moving forward with the solution because of fear. Satan is using fear to prevent you from moving forward with the solution. So I wanted to mention that scripture because the revelation was, oh, wow, you have a problem. The word of Yah gives us a solution. So why aren't we implementing it? Here's the thing. If you're trying to overcome your lust before you get married, what you're essentially doing is you're trying to overcome sin before you are obedient to what Yah said. That's good. Yeah. If you are trying to overcome lust before you get married, you are putting works before obedience. Yah requires us to be obedient. He requires us to be obedient. But what you're doing is you're trying to implement works. You're trying to perform your way into not struggling with that sin anymore. He didn't ask you to do that. What he asked you to do was to be obedient to his word. And what did he say in his word regarding this situation, regarding this this problem? Get married. So my question to you is, why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you pursuing that? Why are you twiddling your thumbs? You have the solution. You've been had the solution. So what are you waiting for? I completely understand, especially like, I guess from a woman's perspective, I can understand that a man who, you know, he acknowledges that he struggles with lust and he actually wants to be a good husband, I can completely understand why he wouldn't want to pursue marriage and he would want to pursue, you know, overcoming that sin before marriage. Like, I completely get it. I really do. You know, it seems kind of like the right path to take. But again, what did Yah say to do in his word? To be obedient, right? Because the more you postpone doing what he told you to do, what is that called? Disobedience. So check this out. You're walking in disobedience, but yet you're trying to solve a problem. How do you think that's going to work out for you? You're trying to overcome sin before you do what Yah already told you to do. And again, fear is keeping you from doing that. Satan wants you in a state of fear so you don't do the very thing that you ought to do. And here's the thing that I was thinking about as well. When you truly think about the situation, right? You say you struggle with lust. Your problem is you struggle with lust. You struggle with women, or if you're a woman listening to this, you struggle with men. You just struggle with lust, right? And in the word, it says the solution is if you can't practice self-control, is to get married, but you are not pursuing marriage. You're trying to overcome your sin before you're obedient to what Yah said. And here is my question for you. When the Messiah came in the flesh and died for us, were we still in sin or were we sinless and then he died for us? Like when he came in the flesh, were we still living in sin? Absolutely. We were still in our sinful nature, but yet he still came in the flesh and died for us. And then what happened? He resurrected on the third day and he ascended back into heaven and he gave us what? His Holy Spirit, a guide, a helper to guide us back to him. We didn't have to overcome our sin before he came in the flesh and died for us. Y'all do know that, right? We were already messed up and he knew this and he still came in the flesh, saw us worthy, came in the flesh and died for us, resurrected and ascended back into heaven and gave us his Holy Spirit. Why do you think he gave us his Holy Spirit, his Ruach HaKodesh? Why do you think he did that? Why do you think he did that? Why do you think he gave us a guide or a helper? Because he knew we were messed up. He already knew that, but he still saw us worthy of dying for. And he gave us the Holy Spirit. And this is the revelation that I got. The Holy Spirit or the Ruach HaKodesh is called a what? A helper, right? The solution that the word of Yah says is to get married, right? And this is for the fellas listening to this. The solution is to get married. The Messiah gave us his Holy Spirit, the helper, right? Okay. What is a wife? A helper. A wife is a helper. A wife is designed to help you. She's a helpmeet, ain't she? She's designed to help you. And if she really locked in with God like that, I promise you, God already told her that you have this problem. This ain't nothing new to her. You verbalizing it is only confirming what God already told her. So you struggling with lust, that's not a surprise to the woman that God has for you. That doesn't shock her. I promise you that. If she really locked in with hearing from God like that, he already gave her a heads up like, look, this is something he struggled with. I need you to help him with that. And how do you help him with that? You guide him back to me. That's what your job is to do. He who find a wife, find a good thing and obtain favor from the Lord. He who find a wife, find a good thing and obtain favor from Yah. You getting married is the solution to your lust problem. Because when you get married, you are entering into a covenant, and not only with just anybody. I'm not saying just get married just to get married, but when you're getting married to the woman that Yah has for you, first off, you're getting married to a praying woman, to a woman who has favor from Yah. So you're entering, first off, you're walking in obedience because the word says to do that, right? So you're walking in obedience. Two, you're entering into a covenant, right? So now you have protection. You're walking in his will. Anytime you're walking in the Messiah's will, you have protection. On top of that, you're with a woman who has favor from Yah. You're with the woman who fasts. You're with the woman who prays. So you're going to her saying, hey, babe, you know, I have this problem. Can you help me? And she was like, yeah, sure. So y'all are praying together. Y'all are fasting together. Y'all are in covenant with each other and you're in Yah's will. I mean, last time I checked, two is better than one. And when you have Yah on your side, it's not two of y'all, it's three. You really think that Satan wants you to be married? Come on now. You can't do this walking around single. If you continue to be single and you are struggling with this problem, you're self-sabotaging. It's a cycle because you can only do so much when you're single. When you are paired up with the person that y'all has for you, and both of y'all, not just you fighting this battle, both of y'all are fighting this battle together with y'all's favor within his covenant. Come on now. Why wouldn't you be able to defeat your lust problem? Why wouldn't you be able to do that? Satan wants to keep you single and fearful because this only exposes you to more temptation. When you are single, first off, when you're walking around single, you have a mindset like, oh, I'm single. So yeah, I fell into this lust problem again. Yeah, but you know, at least I didn't disappoint my wife. At least I didn't step out on my marriage and this, that, and third. So it's kind of like you feel bad, but not as bad. You have this like this single mentality. And on top of that, you're exposed. This is a spiritual battle. And if you are looking at this situation through carnal eyes, you are going to get got each and every time. I promise you that. Covenant with a praying wife that Yah actually knows, not just any woman, but Yah actually knows her. She knows him and Yah knows her. Covenant with a woman like that will actually help you overcome your struggle. Because again, he who findeth the wife find favor. If you bring this problem to your wife, what do you think she gonna do? What do you think a woman who's locked in with guy like that, what do you think she's gonna do? Like seriously. She's gonna do what she's been doing, taking her problems to the Most High and fighting alongside with you to overcome this battle. You're not having to fight by yourself. And again, like I said before, you know, I'm not trying to minimize the situation like, oh, it don't matter. You know, he struggles with lust. It don't matter. Because, I mean, that's a serious issue. Like, that really can tear up marriages and everything. But last time I checked, I don't know about people listening to this, but the God that I serve overcame death. So you mean tell me he can't overcome lust? Like, come on now. Let's be for real. What is that to him? You know, he's bigger than your lust problem. And you are allowing fear to make lust bigger than the God you claim to serve. I'm confused. You're postponing what you know you ought to do because of fear. Commitment is the solution that you're looking for. And again, I get it. Like, it sounds good when you acknowledge like, oh, you know, I got a lust problem and this, that, and the third, and I don't want to get married and have this problem. Let me deal with this issue first, and then I'll be ready for marriage. It sounds good. But one thing that I've learned is that sometimes you just got to jump in it. You got to have faith. Faith is the evidence of the things unseen. Call into being what is not there and walk in it as if it is. I have that written on my board. Got to look on my board. Faith. Call into being what is not there and walk in it as if it is. So if you're a man listening to this and you want to be a faithful husband, call into being what is not there, which is you being a husband, a faithful husband, and walk in it as if it is. So you should be walking as if you are a faithful husband, like right now. Even if you're not, even if you're like, look, like I'm out here in these streets. Walk as if you are a faithful husband. You have to think it in your mind first before it, I don't want to say manifest because people be in that new age stuff. Before it, well, I'm not in the new age, so I'm going to use the word manifest. But you have to think it in your mind before it manifests in the physical. Like you have to believe before it comes into fruition. Right? Like I'll use myself as an example. Mentally, I'm a wife. How I carry myself, I give that. I carry myself as a wife. Now, I don't have no ring on my finger. I don't got no man. But I already think in my head that I'm a wife. Call into being what is not there and walk in it as if it is. I'm calling into being the fact that I'm a wife. I don't have no ring. I am not married. No man. But I am walking and carrying myself as if I'm a wife already. Does that make sense? That is called faith. That is called faith. And when you carry yourself like that, Yah sees like, oh, she has faith. So let me, yeah, do my part. The same with you. If you're a woman listening to this, a man listening to this, you have to think that in your head first, and then the actions will follow through. That's why I say pursue marriage. Get married. If you wait to overcome your sin, to overcome your lust, you're not going to get married. You're going to be 50, 60, 70 years old talking about some, oh, okay, now I'm ready to settle down. And even then you're fooling yourself. Because again, Satan wants you to be single. Satan doesn't want you in covenant. Why would he want you in covenant with somebody else who's praying and fasting and fighting this battle with you? Why would he want that? So he's going to use fear to keep you single, to keep you outside of covenant. And see, when you're outside of covenant, you're like an animal in the wild that's lagging behind. The whole herd is crossing in the river. And you lagging behind, and all the alligators is waiting for you to get in water. It's night-night for you. That's how you look. Like an animal lagging behind. Easy prey. Right? Because when you're in covenant, you're strong. But when you're outside of covenant, Satan's going to keep on throwing lust at you. He's going to keep you getting caught up. Self-sabotaging. It doesn't make any sense. You know, fear is keeping you stagnant and from the breakthrough that you are desiring. And again, I get it. I really do. I have empathy. I hear, you know, people's concerns. But at the same time, what does the word of Yah say? What does the word of Yah say? And a part of me feels like this is just me personally. When somebody says that they're trying to overcome a sin before they do what God called them to do, or what, you know, God already said to do, to me, it sounds like a performance. Like, let me show you I can do this first, and then I'm gonna do what God called me to do. It sounds like you're still performing, because again, when the Messiah came in the flesh and died for us, we were still in sin. You overcoming sin is not going to be a 24-hour process. You overcoming that sin might be a lifelong process, depending on who you are, but it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen in 2 days, 3 days, a week, 2 weeks, depending on who you are. It might take some time. So are you going to continue to wait and to stall, essentially? Or are you just going to be obedient and do what Yah told you to do? Are you going to allow your fear to be an idol? You're allowing your fear to prevent you from being obedient. Come on now. At the end of the day, you're still walking in disobedience. Oh, but I have fear. One thing about me personally, I have fear, but I still do it. I do it fearful. And then I allow Yah to guide my steps. Sometimes, again, you just have to jump into it. And that's what he's waiting for you to do. That's what faith looks like. Faith is not you having a plan for a plan for a plan. Faith looks like you doing it and then figuring it out. See, that's, yep. Figuring it out as you go along. That's what marriage is. All these people talking about some, oh, you know, this, that, and third. You need to do this before you get married. You need to watch out for this before you get married. Do this, that, and third before you get married. And sometimes, depending on who's talking, I'm just like, first off, you like 10 years younger than me trying to tell me, like, like you didn't have all this figured out and you're married. Like, come on, let's be for real. Nobody, I don't care how old you are or young you are, nobody has anything figured out. Marriage is a faith walk. You cannot see into the future like, okay, if I marry this person, let me see into the future real quick. Oh, we're going to get a divorce. Okay, let me not marry them. Like nobody thinks that when they get married to somebody. Like nobody thinks that, because if they did, then they would never get married. Again, sometimes you have to jump into it and then figure it out as you go along. That's not just with marriage. That's with life in general. If you want to start a business, you're going to have to jump into it and figure it out as you go along, because what you'll do, I guess from like a business standpoint, what you'll do is you'll do a whole bunch of research. Research, research, research. You've been researching for the past 5 years and you still haven't started the business. And see, that's exactly where Satan wants you. He doesn't want you actually doing what God called you to do. You think you're doing what God called you to do. You're not doing it. You're just doing research. God called you to start the business. You're just in the research phase. You haven't started anything. Does that make sense? God called you to get married. And what you're doing is, oh, okay, well, you know, let me try to overcome this sin first. You know, and I hear this, you know, people say that, you know, sometimes God gives us what we're prepared to handle. And I've heard this before, and I agree to that to a certain extent. And here's why I agree to it to a certain extent, but not fully. We are never going to be prepared to handle what God gives us, like fully prepared to handle. Because if we were, then we wouldn't need him. I look back at my life and some of the blessings that I received were at a time where I felt like this wasn't the perfect timing for me. I was in transition. I was trying to figure myself out or whatever the case may be, or just life was just life. And then that's when he wants me to do something. I'll use myself when it came to the military. If you would have asked me if I would have been out the military in 3 years, 5 months, and 17 days, I would have looked at you like you crazy. I had planned on retiring in the military, and that's like 20 plus years. That's 20 years minimum. I was mentally prepared to do a 20-year bid. I was going into the military to do a 20-year bid, but I only did 3 years, 5 months, and 17 days. I would mentally... That never even crossed my mind that I will be out the military right now. Because had I known that, I probably would never have pursued it. Like, oh, well, you know, I'm just going in there for 3 years and some change. Ain't no point in doing all that. That would have been my mindset. But I jumped into it. He was guiding me, you know, as I was in it. And then he led me out. And it is what it is. I'm still alive. Right? Has it been tough? Yes. But I'm still alive. Like, I still have so much more to give to the world, so much more life, like, so much more wisdom. Life doesn't end. But anywho, I'm going on a rant. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, you can't have everything planned out before you do it. Sometimes you just have to do it. And oftentimes, he's not going to reveal every step. Ooh, I'm gonna add that. We'll be waiting for Yah to give us a step step number two, but we haven't even done step number one yet. And one thing that I know about him is that if you don't do step one, he's not going to give you step two. You need to do step one and then he'll give you step two. What we want is he'll give us step one and we don't want to do that step because we just don't want to do it, fearful, whatever the case may be. And then we try to move on to step two. So now we're operating in works and not faith. Anytime you step outside of doing what God called you to do, you're operating out of works. And going back to the, you know, he gives us what we're prepared to handle. I understand that mindset, but at the same time, nobody's ever prepared to handle marriage. Nobody's ever prepared to handle having kids. Nobody's ever prepared to handle a death in the family. Like, life is going to life, and you just have to kind of go with the flow and be flexible. And I know y'all's doing the work on me because I did not have that mindset. Like, I was never that type of person. I had to have a plan for a plan for a plan and a backup plan for that. But you know what that did for me? Made me have headaches and anxiety. It made me stressed, overthinking every little thing. It made me stagnant, stuck in the past, not fruitful, resentful because of missed opportunities. That's what it did for me. Trying to figure out everything. But now I'm in a place mentally where sometimes you're just like, you know what? I've prepared and I've done my due diligence. I prepared as much as I can. I control what I can control, but I have to leave the rest to him. That's my mindset now. And I feel like the problem of lust is one of those things that you have to put in Yah's hand. Because you, as a human being, you're not going to be able to solve that problem on your own. You need Yah to help you in that area. And the first step to him helping you in that area is doing what he called you to do already. Which is, if you can't practice self-control, then get married. Don't sit around twiddle your thumbs, burning with lust and passion. Well, burning with passion. You burning in your loins. You get married. What are you waiting on? Because a lot of people, they'll stay single, but they're not practicing celibacy, abstinence? I be getting confused. I'm not going to lie. They having sex. I'll put it to you that way. They're single, but then they slip up the first and 15th of the month, like in a cycle. Come on now. Let's be for real. It's a cycle on and off, off and on. Like, up, you slip up. Okay, cool. You know, repent. Up, you slip up again. Okay, cool. Repent. Up, you slip up again. Okay, now. Come on now. Like, you're depriving yourself at that point. Because when you get married, I'm not trying to sound crass, but you can have sex anytime you want, for real. You're free. There's freedom. You got yourself in a cage right now. Trying to control yourself. I shouldn't be laughing. It's not funny, but it is a little funny. You're trying to control yourself. And you single. And Satan is like, oh, I got me another one. Send a woman his way. A woman who look good. Send her his way. Because he's not doing what God called him to do. Because if he was to get married and enter into a covenant, he would have protection. He would have a helper, not only the Ruach HaKodesh, but a wife who has favor, who will pray and fast with him to attack the problem, but he ain't doing none of that. So, yep, throw this girl at him or throw this man at her. Yep, let's keep her in this cycle and see when you are trying to do right for God and then you slip up, guess what happens? Shame. Oh, I messed up again. So now you have shame building up, right? Now you feel bad. You feel convicted But then shame comes in, right? So what happens with shame? When you start feeling shame, now you don't even feel worthy of being married. For some reason, you have it in your mind that, oh, you know, let me overcome this sin. And then, you know, she'll want to be with me because I don't want to mess up and everything. His grace is sufficient. And again, it's going for men and women, but I'm a woman from my perspective. If Yah has a woman for you, which I am a firm believer that if you go to God and ask him to reveal to you who would be a good person for you to be with, I believe he'll give you wisdom on that in that area. But if Yah has somebody for you, this individual isn't oblivious to things concerning you. Again, you admitting that, oh, I struggle with lust. Oh, okay. Now, don't get it twisted and think you're going to be out here in these streets acting a daggone fool because you admitted that you had a lust problem. Don't do that. Don't play yourself. Don't do that. Mm-mm. No. You acknowledge the problem and we're going to tackle the issue. You're not about to acknowledge the problem and then be like, oh, okay, because I acknowledge the problem, I can be a hoe. We're not doing that. Excuse my language. But just know that she knows, and you verbalizing it only confirmed, I knew that before he even said anything. So I wrote down some steps. I wrote down 6 steps, called it Steps to Breakthrough Overcoming Lust. And I want to share with you guys these 6 steps, and I feel like it would help you and maybe be a little easier to digest what you can do to overcome lust. So let's go ahead and work through these 6 steps. So step number 1, acknowledge the problem. You know you struggle with lust. Acknowledge that. The first step and one of the most important and crucial steps in recovery is admitting that you have a problem. There are so many people who they can't even admit that they have a problem. And you is really hard to help people like that because they don't see it as a problem. The fact that you're admitting that you struggle with lust and you feel bad about it, that's a good sign, actually, because it shows that you're convicted about that. It shows that the Holy Spirit is still working inside of you. Sometimes people get confused, like they'll commit a sin and they'll feel bad about it, but for some reason they don't think that the Spirit is working on the inside of them. No. Like, if you are convicted, it is a blessing to feel convicted about sin. There are people who they commit sin, they don't feel no type of way. They have a seared conscience. This is how you get people committing crimes, like horrible crimes, and they don't feel no type of way. And then those people end up condemning themselves because they never repent. You acknowledge that you struggle with lust, which means you feel some type of way about it, which means there is opportunity for you to repent, i.e. turn away from that. So the first step, acknowledge the problem, right? That's the first step. So step number 2, and this is probably the most important step of all these steps, and I want you to listen to me close. Ask yourself, do you want breakthrough? And I'm gonna let that marinate for a second. Ask yourself, do you want breakthrough? This step is crucial because it will determine which path you walk down. I call this step and this question a crossroads type question. You're walking on a path and there's 2 paths you can take. You're at a crossroads. You cannot skip this step, and here's why. A lot of people will acknowledge the problem, They'll say, oh yeah, I do have a problem, but they never ask themselves, do they want breakthrough? They just skip right into, you know, trying to get in God's word and everything. They haven't really asked themselves the question, do I even want breakthrough? You struggle with lust. Okay. Do you want to overcome that or do you want to be out in these streets? Which one is it? And a lot of people don't take the time to actually ask themselves that question. As a woman, from my personal experience dealing with men in general, I feel like a lot of men try to keep you in limbo with this, in this step. I feel like a lot of men, this is just my personal opinion, they become entitled to their own timeline. A lot of men, they skip this step. They never ask themselves, do I want to overcome my lust or do I just want to be out in the streets? And because they never ask themselves that question and they never answer the question, they keep you in limbo. Because they know that if they said outright, I just want to be in the streets, then you would leave. But they don't want you to do that. So they don't answer the question. So now you're kind of like wondering, like, okay, like what path are you going to take? Like which path are you going to take? Because that's going to determine how we move forward, if we move forward at all. So me personally, I feel like a lot of guys keep you in limbo. But, you know, I take accountability because I'm at a point in my life where you don't have to make a decision for me to make mine. I'm going to make the decision for you. And I promise you, it's not going to be the decision that you're looking for. But anywho, I call this a crosswords type question. If you say no to breakthrough, then continue living your life how you want. Don't stress yourself out acknowledging you have a problem. And then you say no to, you know, breakthrough, but then you're trying to not be in the streets. Like, I'm confused. If you want to be out here, then be out here. Just know what comes with that. But don't stress yourself out and the people around you because you're wishy-washy. Right? It doesn't make any sense to me. You're either all in or you're all out. You know? And again, I feel like this step is so important because if you say yes to wanting breakthrough, but your actions say no, then you're not going to have peace within yourself. You're not going to have peace within yourself. You know, this is what happens when you say you have a lust problem, but then your actions are showing that you're not doing anything to overcome that. You're not going to have peace. You have a lust problem. Ask yourself, do you want breakthrough? And if the answer is yes, then your actions should follow suit. And I believe this step is important. Also because I am somebody who's very aware that I can't save someone from themselves. You know, the industry that I work in, you're trained and you're around so much. You realize that you truly can't help somebody if they don't want to help themselves. And it's really a sad reality, but that is the reality. Nevertheless, like if somebody doesn't want help, you can't force your will onto that person. You can't save someone from themselves. I can want you to be delivered from your lust problem all I want. But if you don't want that for yourself, then I can't do anything about that. I can pray. I can fast. Do all these things for you. But if you don't want that for yourself, I can't force your hand. You have to want to get clean. You know, I am not allowed to impede on somebody else's will. And the reality is, I don't have a desire to do so. You know, I'm not here to change a man. I can't change a man. I know somebody who can, though. I do know somebody who can. But Michaela is not here wanting to change anybody. But I will ask you the question, do you want to change? And if you say, yes, you want to change, I can work with that. I can work with that. But I will not work with somebody who doesn't want to. So this is a question you have to ask yourself and be honest and transparent with yourself. I believe that love is patient, but hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I deserve the best version of you and vice versa. And I refuse to allow myself to be held hostage in this stage. So as y'all can probably pick up, this question is a crossroads question, and is a very important question. So let's move on, shall we? Step 3. Arm yourself with Yah's word, i.e. implement the solution. You need to arm yourself with Yah's word, right? So step 1 was acknowledge the problem. Step 2 is ask yourself, do you even want the breakthrough? And if the answer is yes, step 3, arm yourself with Yah's word. What does Yah say in his word? Not what the pastor say, not what you saw on Instagram, TikTok. What does Yah say in his word? Because a lot of people, though I feel like their intentions are good, good intentions does not mean that it's biblical. Good intentions does not mean that that is what scripture says. What does scripture say? Get married. Don't burn with lust. Again, the Messiah died for us when we were in sin. We didn't have to do anything to be counted worthy of him, you know, dying for us. We just existed. So arm yourself with what he already says in his word. Step 4, confront your fear. A lot of people fear intimacy. Like they have a fear of intimacy. They have a fear of getting into a relationship. They want a relationship, but then they have a fear of a relationship because they don't really know how to navigate in a healthy relationship. So I feel like a lot of people, they look for, the word I'm looking for is not toxic, but an unhealthy, a familiar relationship pattern, and oftentimes is unhealthy. Oftentimes you are looking for a familiar pattern. And this goes back to childhood trauma, which is a completely different topic that I'll probably talk about in a different episode. But a lot of people have a fear of intimacy. So what they'll do is they'll try to control or be a savior because this is the dynamic that they're used to seeing. So they try to perpetuate that because it's a sense of familiarity. You know, we're humans. We don't like the unknown. It's scary to have faith. It's scary to jump into something that's new, that's foreign, right? So you see a potential for a healthy relationship and you're just like, oh my God, like this is healthy. Like, I don't know what to do with this. Right? So you have to confront your fear. You have to be comfortable, get to a place where vulnerability is on display. When you're in a healthy relationship, your weaknesses will be exposed. This is what happens when you confront your fear. Overcoming lust will have you confront your fears. I think of people who they want to overcome their lust, but they seek out relationships that they know aren't good because it makes them feel comfortable. They don't feel exposed, right? Imagine trying to overcome lust and then you get with somebody who you being around them convicts you of your lust. It makes you feel uncomfortable. It makes you feel vulnerable. It makes you feel exposed. You know, you already feel like you're messed up So in your mind, it's like, well, I might as well continue to live in this condemnation. I might as well continue to self-sabotage. So again, step four is to confront your fear. Step five, surrender. This goes for women and this goes for men as well. I'm specifically talking about men, actually, especially regarding this. Surrender. Men do not know how, in my personal opinion, how to surrender. Women were taught to submit and surrender since we playing with Barbie dolls. Like, women are always taught this. Men aren't. Men aren't taught this, to surrender. Stop resisting and allow yourself to be. You're trying to protect yourself, right? Sometimes when you have a problem, such as lust, you hold on to that because it's familiar, right? You don't want to let that go. You don't want to surrender that because it makes you feel like you are in control. Yeah, I got this problem, but I feel in control. It's like an addiction. It's like, yeah, this addiction is bad for me, right? It's tearing my life apart, but I'm familiar with this. I don't want to give this up. Because if I give this up, I feel like I'm not in control anymore. I have to surrender to this. I don't want to do that. But in order for you to overcome your lust, you're going to have to surrender that. Surrender that lust to Yah. You know, allow yourself to be seen by him and allow yourself to be loved by him. Know that you are worthy of him. So step five, surrender. And step six, commit. I feel like one of the reasons why it's hard for people to overcome something like lust is because they lack commitment. I don't believe that commitment and discipline are the same thing, though it could be, but I believe commitment is something different. I feel like commitment goes beyond discipline. Commitment is honoring covenant, choosing Yah's path, waking up every day and saying, I choose Yah. I choose Yahuwah. Not giving yourself another option. Like, there is no other option. You don't have another choice. And when you have this mindset, like, you have to have a one-track mindset. Like, there is no other option. There is no other choice for me. I'm committed to walking in his ways. When you have that type of mindset, I promise you, the other path, which is the path leading you on the path of lust, that path doesn't even become, like, is not even in your vision anymore, if that makes sense. You know, you're not thinking about that path. You're not thinking about falling back into that sexual sin. You're not thinking about that at all, because now you're committed. You're honoring covenant. And it also goes back to being married. Now you are focused. You have something to focus on. You have a goal. You have a vision. When you're just wandering and trying to figure it out yourself, you're doing exactly that. You're wandering. No vision, no path. Like, what are we doing here? So again, step one, acknowledge the problem. Step two, ask yourself, do you want breakthrough? And be transparent with yourself. Step three, arm yourself with Yah's word, because it will give you the solution to your problem. Step four, confront your fear. Or confront your fears. Step five, surrender. And step six, commit. So these are six steps that I wrote in my notes. Steps to breakthrough, overcoming lust. So I just wanted to share that with y'all and hope that that helps somebody. But yeah, y'all, I'm gonna wrap it up. I feel like I've said everything that I wanted to say regarding this topic. You know, lust is a serious issue. And I feel like it's taking a lot of people hostage. A lot of people are in bondage. At the same time, the solutions that are being given, I'm not saying that they're bad solutions, because again, monitoring what you listen to, what you watch, who you hang around, the environment you put yourself in, those can add, those can aid into overcoming your lust problem. However, this battle is a spiritual one. Our warfare takes place in the spirit realm. And a lot of those solutions are physical solutions. This is why I emphasize marriage. Well, one, because that's what scripture says. But two, marriage is a spiritual solution to a spiritual problem. I guarantee you, if you ask somebody, or if somebody says, I struggle with lust, what's the solution? People are going to be like, stop watching porn, stop, hanging out in this environment, stop talking to these people, stop watching this. But they're not going to tell you, get married. No, what are we taught? Overcome that sin first and then get married, i.e. overcome that sin before you're obedient to what God said. And my challenge to you is be obedient to what God said and then watch you overcome that sin in the process. So yeah, y'all, I don't want to blabber on. I hope this helped who it needed to help, because I know it helped me. But yeah, y'all, I appreciate you guys for tuning in for another episode. And until next time.